Good morning, everyone. So Adora, when you get up early in the morning sometimes, maybe before you left for school, do you ever watch the Farm Report on TV?
Oh, absolutely. I was living in the Midwest.
Yeah, that's right.
The Farm Report would come up every morning.
About 6 a.m., maybe 5 a.m. sometimes, talk about the price of pork bellies. Think of this as the Farm Report on the takeaway this morning. Barack Obama appointed former Iowa Governor Tom Vilsack to be the next Secretary of the Department of Agriculture. And, you know, while that might be resigned to an early morning Farm Report, in fact, it's worth reminding our listeners and everyone out there that the Department of Agriculture is a vast federal agency that spans responsibility for food stamps, the Forestry Service, all the way to issues that relate directly to the food you put on your plate. And joining us to talk about the Vilsack nomination is Ben Shute, who's owner and manager of Hardy Roots Community Farm up there in Tivoli, New York. Ben, thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
And from Washington, D.C., Sandra Schubert joins us. She's a director of government affairs at the Environmental Working Group in Washington. Sandra, thanks for being part of the program.
Thanks for having me on.
Let me begin with you, Ms. Schubert. Is the Vilsack nomination something that represents a kind of new vision for the Department of Agriculture, or is this more of a management decision in your view?
Well, we're very encouraged by the nomination. Governor Vilsack has made some positive statements about farm subsidy reform, getting rid of subsidies for corn ethanol, and moving forward on some positive renewable energy projects on agricultural land, such as wind energy. So we're encouraged by it.
And what about the ethanol sort of issue? Tom Vilsack has been a real advocate of ethanol production. Of course, the state of Iowa does a really good job at producing ethanol. Nevertheless, during the sort of food price spikes of earlier this year, the competition with ethanol production for corn proved to be a destabilizing part of the market. What's your view there?
Well, Mr. Vilsack's clearly going to be very positive on biofuels, but I would like to point out that when he was in charge of one of the committees for the Council of Foreign Relations, they recommended phasing out subsidies for corn-based ethanol and other mature biofuels. So we're hopeful that he'll take some of these steps when he's at USDA.
Ben Shute, what's your view of Tom Vilsack? And I suspect that as part of a community farm, buying local is a pretty important issue to you.
Certainly. To me, I think one of the most exciting and hopeful things going on in agriculture today are the small and medium-sized farms that are doing more organic farming and regional marketing. And from that perspective, I am a little worried about the appointment of Tom Vilsack. I know that a lot of his experience with farm issues is on the side of the larger agribusiness. He has some close ties with the Monsanto Corporation and with a lot of genetically engineered farm-related issues. And so I'm a little more nervous about what's to come with
that. Well, let's get into that a little bit. What makes you nervous? What specific policies do you expect Vilsack will back, and at the expense of what in your world?
Well, I'm hopeful that he will give a lot of attention to what I see as a more progressive farming movement, because it really does hold out a lot of hope for me. The way I see things going, these small family farms are really revitalizing rural communities, are putting the health of people at the forefront, you know, using natural practices, taking care of the soil, taking care of the ecosystems. And I just don't see that Tom Vilsack has spent a lot of attention on that, has gotten to know those farmers, has a real strong vision for how that can be pushed forward and really provide a model for how farming can be in the future.
I'm just wondering, since Congress already has set aside crop subsidies and other agricultural policies for the next 5 years after the Farm Bill was adopted in May, how much power is Vilsack really going to have as Cabinet Secretary? Sandra?
Well, Governor Vilsack can have an effect in a couple ways. President-elect Obama has already indicated that he has significant concerns with multimillionaires getting taxpayer subsidies through the Farm Bill. They can follow through to address some of those issues in the budget process. There is also going to be a long process of Farm Bill implementation as my colleague on the phone points out, there are a lot of good conservation and environmental programs that need to be put in place and strengthened to ensure that both our soil, our water, and our air quality and our farms are strong into the future.
But, Sandra, what do you think about Ben's notion that Tom Vilsack doesn't have much of a reputation in supporting small family farms, local agriculture?
Well, Iowa tends to have a lot of large farms, but Mr. Vilsack has been, he's been in this area for a long time. We do think that we agree that we need to focus our attention, our monies, into helping the truly smaller, struggling farmers, that we need to stop giving these large plantation-scale farm subsidies. He has made some encouraging statements along those lines. I do think we'll see how he is able to implement some of these statements over the next few or so years, and we hope that he will look into the 21st century and develop a farm policy that's forward-looking and not keep in place the same outdated policies that we saw pass in the last farm bill.
Sandra, though, is it possible that that's just a lot of hope, that the economy right now, with its demand for jobs and demand for products to export and the need to really pull ourselves off of foreign-based fossil fuels is going to really chuck a lot of this kind of folksy, lovable, local farm agenda right off of the front burner?
Well, it shouldn't. What we see in farm subsidies is 10% of farmers get two-thirds of the money. Those tend to be the large-scale farmers. Also, in the arena of biofuels, were we to plant our entire agricultural land in corn for ethanol, we would only supplant 15% of our gasoline. We cannot plant our way out of our oil and gas problems. And yes, there's a lot of hope in this nomination. We have not seen a lot of progress on farm policy in the last farm bill. We were disappointed in the way that happened. But Mr. Vilsack and President-elect Obama have a historic opportunity right now to change the path that these programs are taken and focus them on what is really good not only for oil and gas, but farmers, family farmers, smaller farmers that are struggling but tend not to get the support of government that these large farms get.
Ben, just to follow up on that thought, what are you most worried about that the next agriculture secretary won't do?
I still am hopeful that he does have the opportunity, and I see it as a huge opportunity for Obama and Vilsack to, at this point now, appoint undersecretaries and other key staff people in the Department of Agriculture who really are champions of this movement towards a more ecological and reasonably sized agricultural base. And so I really hope that they will see that as an opportunity, because I think we're at a turning point where we can either go forward with more of the same policies that have pushed out medium-sized and small family farmers and consolidated the power into larger, less sustainable corporate agriculture entities. I really am hopeful that we will see a lot of attention put towards that. I'm just concerned that it may not be the first priority. And I know that as part of the Obama platform, he does cite encouraging young farmers, encouraging small farmers, and encouraging organic farming practices. So I'm really hoping to see some more appointments along those lines.
Hoping, encourage. Look, there's a public health disaster in the United States on obesity that many have linked to high fructose corn syrup and other corn-based sweeteners. I mean, it seems to me that there ought to be a good, passionate case for using the subsidy model to get it away from big agribusiness and more towards organic farms, to bring the price of organic produce down, to channel people into eating foods that are more healthy. Ben, I'm surprised you're not sort of railing a little more passionately about this.
Absolutely. I mean, currently, while big commodity corn producers see huge subsidies every year, a farm like mine, which grows organic vegetables for local and regional distribution, sees absolutely no encouragement from the government whatsoever, not a dime. Now, I'm not asking for subsidies, but I am asking for our policies to be more aligned with the health of our communities, the health of our citizens, and the health of our land.
Sandra, would you go along with that?
We couldn't agree more with all those points. It is time that
all right, but the too much agreement, we're going to put everyone to sleep here. Okay, so let's just change the subject. Ben, what are you eating this morning?
Oh, I had a bowl of oatmeal, and it's still dark out here in the Hudson Valley in the wintertime, but a little bit of snow on the ground. So.
Listen to the farm report already this morning?
just what you've told me so far.
I see. So the farm report is a thing of the past. Are you harvesting anything for the holiday meal?
We've got most of our crops in already. Our root crops in the cellar, and still pulling some hardy greens out of our fields and out of our greenhouse. And that's the great thing about a farm like ours is we're providing value to our community year round. We can really push our season. We're not just running out there on our combine once a year and harvesting a whole bunch of commodities.
Ben Shute, owner and manager of Hardy Roots Community Farm, and Sandra Schubert, I didn't even get to ask you if you had a garden. She's the director of government affairs at the Environmental Working Group in Washington, D.C. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.